always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Hey, good Monday to you. Thank you so much for tuning in. This, of course, is a wonderful week on our faith calendar because it is a holy week when we look ahead to reflecting on those final days of Jesus' life before this crucifixion and the activities in Jerusalem around that time. We've got a great week to help reflect on that. Coming up Thursday, we're bringing back Dr. Michael Redelnik from Moody Bible Institute to talk a little bit about Passover, and we'll review the familiar picture, Da Vinci's picture, the Last Supper. Find out what's wrong with that picture.
A few things.
And do a little art critique on Thursday. But Michael Redelnik's always just so interesting. He's professor of Jewish studies there, and so we'll get some really keen insight about the connection there. We also have a Wednesday, looking forward to Colin Smith from Unlocking the Bible. He's written a wonderful book about the thief on the cross, Heaven, How I Got There. We're going to hear that powerful story and reflect on Holy Week. Tuesday, John Dixon will help us understand the Bible kind of from beginning to end as we focus on Jesus and something for skeptics and believers alike. And today, looking forward to today. Yeah. You're going to be busy, Ted, playing some songs.
So. This is great. This takes me back to my youth. I grew up in the traditional Lutheran tradition, you know, so these hymns really remind me of Easter time. When I come to this time of year, I think back on just sitting in church and maybe not as a kid soaking it in, but as I got older, coming to appreciate the deep meaning of all these hymns.
We've got some great hymns that we're going to highlight today to just kind of open up Holy Week. And to help us do that, we've invited back Robert Morgan. Rob is the pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, Tennessee. He's served there for 30-plus years, and he's authored more than 20 books with more than 2 million in print, including The Lord's My Shepherd, The Red Sea Rules, his latest we had him on not too long ago called Mastering Life Before It's Too Late. But he's also authored 3 editions of hymn story collections called Then Sings My Soul. And, you know, these aren't just dry recounting of boring stories. They're devotional-like style, and they just pull some of the emotion and the drama behind these hymns of faith that have changed so many lives and encouraged us. So we just wanted to have Rob back just to highlight some of these wonderful stories. Rob, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
It's a joy to be with you, Neil. Thank you very much.
I want to recommend, too, the 3 volumes of Then Sings My Soul, 150 of the World's Greatest Hymn Stories is one of them. And we're going to highlight just some of the Holy Week Easter hymns for today and play a variety of the songs. And Rob, I know this has just been kind of a passion for you, just collecting these stories, I think, right?
Yes, you know, I love the great old hymns of the faith. Now, I love the newer music, too, and we sing both in our church. But I can't imagine that we would lose the heritage of our hymn books and the majesty and the theological truth and the comfort that is in the great hymns of the faith is something that we've got to preserve and treasure. And this is a wonderful week to meditate some on the wonderful hymns that have been passed down to us through the ages.
Well, I thought we'd start with one that I've always enjoyed ever since a child. Hallelujah, What a Savior. Tell us a little bit of the story behind this hymn.
Isn't it a wonderful hymn? It's by Philip Bliss. And Philip Bliss has a very interesting story. He was born in a log cabin in Pennsylvania. And when he was 10 years old, he was selling vegetables door to door. And as he was going down the street trying to find housewives at home to buy his vegetables, he heard a music source coming out of the house. He'd never heard anything like it before. And he couldn't stop himself. He just burst into the house to see what this noise was. And it was a piano. He had never heard a piano before. And a lady was sitting there playing it. And she turned around and saw him. And she was frightened. And she screamed and threw him out of the house. But he never forgot the wonder and the charm of hearing that piano. So he later grew up to become a musician and a music teacher and a publisher. And he wrote some of the great gospel songs of that era, like Wonderful Words of Life and Almost Persuaded, The Light of the World is Jesus, I Will Sing of My Redeemer. And shortly before his death, he and his wife both perished in a terrible train accident in Ohio in 1876. But not long before his death, he wrote this wonderful passion hymn, Hallelujah, what a Savior, based upon Isaiah 53. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior.
Let's listen to it. We'll highlight the hymns as we go along, and we can just enjoy and enter in. Here's the Haven Quartet with Hallelujah, what a Savior. Of that wonderful old hymn, Hallelujah, What a Savior. We'll play some full songs and just some excerpts from others as well. We want to just get through a number of hymns. But, Rob, there's something about just hearing the lyric that really kind of brings home the message of the cross more powerfully, doesn't it?
Well, this goes all the way back to Exodus 14. The first recorded hymn that we have in biblical or Christian history was the Song of Moses, in Exodus 14 and 15, after the Israelites had gone through the Red Sea, and on the other side, they composed a hymn on the spot and sang it. And music and the singing of hymns has always, from that day until our own, been a part of the emotionalization of our faith and helping us to ponder and to meditate in an emotional as well as in an intellectual way on the truths that mean so much to us.
Well, let's focus on one that we love to sing year-round, and this one was written by Isaac Watts, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
Well, Isaac Watts was the man who popularized the English hymn. You know, after the Reformation, and the Reformation spread to English-speaking countries like the British Islands, it wasn't popular to sing hymns. People thought you should only sing metrical versions of the Psalms of David. And Isaac Watts was the man who first began to popularize on a widespread basis the singing of hymns. And he wrote most of his hymns when he was 19 and 20 and 21 years of age. He had graduated from college, had moved back home for a couple of years in Southampton, England. And his church there, the Above Bar Congregational Church, said, "Why don't you write hymns for us? We'll try it and be willing to sing them." And so this congregation very courageously began singing a new hymn every week as this young man wrote them. And later, Isaac Watts became a pastor himself in London, and he didn't have as much time. But this hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, and a lot of his others were written when he was just a teenager or maybe in his very early 20s, living at home right after college. And it's almost incomprehensible that someone that young could write something so profound as, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, I, well, now I've gone blank
my,
on the
my,
words,
my richest gain, I count but loss and poor contempt and all my pride." Yeah,
yes, and it came out of his heart and soul, and it really was the theme of his life and ministry. He was a very unusual man and a great pastor, a brilliant thinker, but he's remembered most for his hymns.
Just think about that final verse, too, that, you know, one worth reflecting on any day. "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." Rob Morgan is with us today. We're talking about some of the great hymns of our faith during Holy Week. Let's hear a little bit of When I Survey. Here's Michael W. Smith. focusing on our Savior's love this week, opening up Holy Week with a reflection of Passion Week as it's relayed to us in the great hymns of our faith. And to help us with that, we have Rob Morgan. Pastor Rob Morgan is pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, Tennessee. He's a best-selling author and has served in ministry there at Donaldson for over 30-plus years. Three of his works are Then Sings My Soul. He's got three volumes of Then Sings My Soul, which are some of the great hymn stories of our faith. And so we've invited Rob to join us today just to tell some of those stories. And we've already reflected on a couple, Hallelujah, What a Savior, and When I Survey. And we're going to get to O Sacred Head in a moment. But I don't know if My Savior's Love, Rob, that's another just kind of good old gospel song I remember singing as a child quite a bit.
Well, a lot of the songs of the gospel era were written by a handful of very gifted people. That one was written by Charles Gabriel. He grew up, he was a farm boy in Iowa, and there was an organ in his house, and he taught himself to play the organ on his family organ and just took to music very naturally. He began teaching in singing schools when he was a teenager, and he went on to become a composer and a worship pastor. And then he ended up working with Homer Rodehever in the publishing company, editing hymn books. And he's the one that gave us this wonderful song, I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus the Nazarene and Wonder How He Could Love Me, a Sinner Condemned Unclean.
Well, Rob, you know, some of these hymns go way back. And I think the next one we want to talk about, O Sacred Head, Now Wounded, this is pretty early in our hymn heritage, isn't it?
Yes, this goes back about 1,000 years. And so if you think of Christian history as enduring for 2,000 years since the resurrection of Christ, then this hymn would be right in the middle of it. It was written by Bernard, and Bernard was a sickly boy in Dijon, France, who wasn't able to fulfill his military service because of his frailty. And he became a monk instead and went into the monastery and became a real leader, showed tremendous spiritual depth in his life as well as administrative skills. And he started not only the famous monastery at Clairvaux, we call him Bernard of Clairvaux, but really 170 other monasteries. And he wrote some powerful poetry, and some of that poetry was translated from Latin into German, from German into English. And one of those is this profound song, which was set to music by Bach, O Sacred Head Now Wounded.
Let's give a listen to this powerful piece. And just think again, listen to the lyrics as you hear Amy Grant singing, O Sacred Head. Sacred Head, we reflect on Holy Week. Rob Morgan joining us to reflect on some of the stories and the stories behind the hymns. He's written about them in his wonderful series called Then Sings My Soul. There's three volumes of that. And Rob, let's kind of move back. Going back 1,000 years, this was a little more in that gospel era, but an old favorite that many of us grew up singing, The Old Rugged Cross. Tell us that story. Hey, Rob, yeah, tell us the story of The Old Rugged Cross.
Yes, this was the story. It's a very interesting story to me, Neil, because there are three different churches around Lake Michigan that have a marker up saying that this is where the Old Rugged Cross was first sung. And it's because the author of the hymn was George Barnard, or Bernard, who it's pronounced either way. He was a traveling evangelist in the Michigan area around Lake Michigan. He just went from church to church conducting revivals and evangelistic campaigns, and he took his guitar with him. And he started working on this hymn, The Old Rugged Cross on the Road. And so he would come to a church, and he would say, let's sing this new hymn. And so they sang it, and then he would change it up some and perfect it and make improvements on it. And the next church, he would say, let's try this hymn. And they would sing it, and finally he got it in its permanent form, and they sang it at that church. And so there are three different congregations where there are markers saying this is where the Old Rugged Cross was sung for the first time. But it's become a deeply loved song because it talks about the power of Calvary. He was visualizing in his mind that hill far away where there was an old rugged cross. And then the refrain at the end, so I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. That is so poignant that it touches us whenever we hear it.
Well, let's give a listen. This is from a collection called Hymned Again, and Bart Millard doing a good rendition. We'll enjoy a bit of The Old Rugged Cross here on Connecting Faith.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. The dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
enjoying some of the great music of this wonderful week that reflect on the passion and compassion of our Savior who died in our place. And thankfully, we have Rob Morgan to help us work through some of these wonderful stories. We have some more hymns coming up here in the second half hour. Rob Morgan is pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, Tennessee. He served there for 30-plus years and authored more than 20 books, more than 2 million in print, including The Lord's My Shepherd, The Red Sea Rules, the latest we had him on not long ago called Mastering Life Before It's Too Late. And he's done a three-volume set called Then Sings My Soul, and these are where we're getting some of these wonderful hymn stories, and we'll get more with Rob in just a moment. I encourage you to stay tuned for that. We'll talk about Nothing But the Blood, and There's a Fountain, What Wondrous Love, and more. It's all coming up in just a moment here on Connecting Faith.
What a wondrous love is this, oh my soul, what wondrous love is this, oh my soul, what wondrous love is this, that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul.
32 past the hour. And that's one of the great hymns of our faith, and certainly worth reflecting on here this week. Helping us to do that, Robert Morgan is pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, Tennessee, and he's authored dozens of books, including a three-volume set called Then Sings My Soul. They're stories of the world's greatest hymns, and we're happy to have him with us today. And I don't know, Rob, if you have any recollections on What Wondrous Love. We've got some more we want to get to as well.
That's an American hymn. It has a Methodist background. It was first published in 1811 in a hymn book called A General Selection for the Newest and Most Admired Hymns and Spiritual Songs Now in Youth. And we don't know the author of it, but it sounds to me like an old African-American spiritual that may have been captured by the Methodist. But I remember hearing it sung by a college choir back in the 1960s and 70s, and they put it on a record that they published, and I listened to it over and over again. I love that song and the plaintive tune that goes with it, which also dates from the 1800s.
Well, let's talk about another wonderful hymn, and hopefully these are hymns that, as our listeners are following along, they're remembering and enjoying. Nothing But the Blood of Jesus, What Can Wash Away My Sin? Tell us a little bit about that one.
Well, this was written by Robert Lowry, and it also dates from the 1800s, from around about 1870, 1880. And Robert Lowry was a very popular hymnist, wrote a lot of the gospel hymns, both words and music, worked with Fanny Crosby a great deal. But it's one of a number of hymns that really stress the importance of the blood of Christ as a biblical doctrine that has great meaning to us. Count Zinzendorf wrote another hymn on the blood of Christ called Jesus, Thy Blood and Righteousness. And you remember Neil and Charles Wesley's great O for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. There's this phrase, His blood can make the foulest clean, His blood avail for me. And so the subject of the blood of Christ seems like an unusual subject for the writing of songs, but actually it brings into our hearts a very important biblical truth. And I think it's important for us to meditate on it.
Let's just take a minute to enjoy a bit of Nothing But the Blood. That has that that word fountain included in it. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. We're talking about There Is a Fountain. And Rob, tell us a little bit about that hymn.
This was written by William Cooper, and his last name is spelled C-O-W-P-E-R. It looks like Cowper, but it's pronounced Cooper. And he wrote with John Newton. Together they wrote hymns like Amazing Grace. It was one of the most famous hymn-writing duos in history. But William Cooper himself was a man who battled depression. Part of that may have come because when he was 6 years old, he lost his mother, and he never got over the melancholy and the grief of that. He was sent to a boarding school where he was bullied. And so as an adult, he was very fragile emotionally and given to depression. But his great friend, John Newton, helped him. And together they wrote many of the hymns that we love to sing and published a hymn book. And this is a Cooper hymn that dates from 1772. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains.
The great joy of this week is that we have that hope of stains being removed. Let's listen to just a little bit of There Is a Fountain.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunged
Michelle Pilar giving such a fine rendition of that wonderful old William Cooper hymn. We have a wonderful hymn to, we'd mentioned the name Isaac Watts, and this one takes us back to Isaac Watts. So tell us the story of At the Cross, Rob.
Well, At the Cross is very interesting because it's really written by two different men. The main verses of it come from Isaac Watts. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die, would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? That is classic Isaac Watts, and just alone as the primary verses, it is a tremendous hymn. But what happened in 1885, just like it's happening today, it's not a bad thing at all, but styles of music changed, and so they would come along and take some of the great old hymns and sort of bring them up to date. And there was a man named Ralph Hudson who took this massive hymn, Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed, wrote a refrain and turned it into a gospel song, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my sins fell away. And so it became a totally different sounding hymn, and the verses still were by Isaac Watts. The refrain, or the chorus as we would say, is by Ralph Hudson, and we've been singing it for about 120 or 30 years as this song, At the Cross.
I love the way the Gaither Vocal Band sing it. Let's enjoy that together right now.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I?
I'm sure you have a favorite hymn or two or a song that you love to sing. This is the season of the year, and we thought we'd open up Holy Week today by just reflecting on some of the stories behind those wonderful hymns and songs so that you can add some maybe depth and meaning to your worship as you worship through song in this wonderful week. And we're hearing today from Robert Morgan, pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, Tennessee. He's a best-selling author. In fact, his books have more than, I think, 2 million in print at least. And we had him on not too long ago talking about Mastering Life Before It's Too Late, his latest. But the ones that we're referencing today are, it's a three-volume collection that he's done, Then Sings My Soul. And these are stories of some of the world's greatest hymns. And we're honored to have Rob back with us again. And were you there? One that we're familiar with this season. There's another one, if you want to say a word about that, but also we want to move into Jesus Paid It All.
Yes, Neil. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever gotten bored during a sermon?
I would say, you know, not recently, but I would say there was a few years in my teens. I could certainly attest to that.
Well, of course, it depends some on the preacher, doesn't it? There was a woman who lived back in the 1860s named Elvina Hall, who was in the choir, and she got bored during a sermon. She was sitting up in the choir loft. And it was at the Monument Street Methodist Church in Baltimore. And while the pastor was droning on, her mind wandered, and she opened her Bible to the flyleaf, and she began composing a song. And it was the song, I heard my Savior say, thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thy all in all. She didn't actually have those exact words to begin with. She had the beginnings of it, and she kept working on it until finally she had this song just exactly the way she wanted it. And she gave it to the organist at her church, whose name was John Grape. And the organist, actually the organ was under repair, and he had it at his house. And so he took her song home, and there at the church organ, which was at the time in his house, he composed the music. So this is a hymn, Jesus Paid It All, that came about as the result of a boring sermon.
I'm sure you've never had one, and let's hope that we make good use of any of those opportunities. But let's hear a little bit of this wonderful hymn, Jesus Paid It All.
Watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Music from the Newsboys, of course not original, but I love the way that so many bands and worship leaders are going back to some of those wonderful old hymns and giving them a fresh face and introducing a whole new generation to the rich lyric. And we've been talking about the wonderful lyrics of these old hymns. And we have one other we're going to get to today that is a remake of an old hymn that Casting Crowns has done. And so they call it Glorious Day, but Rob, it goes back to, it was called One Day at the time, right?
Yes, you know, it's very interesting. This is a very popular song, and at our church, our music minister, who's a young man, he leads us in singing it. And I think that most people think it's a brand new song because Casting Crowns did such a good job remaking it. But it really goes back to the words of J. Wilbur Chapman, who was a great American evangelist. He found assurance of his salvation under the ministry of D.L. Moody. So many of these songs come from the Moody era. And Moody was the one who encouraged him to go into full-time evangelism. He was a Presbyterian man. And he became a very prominent author and devotional writer and preacher and evangelist and hymnist. And it was at a Bible conference in Stony Brook, Long Island, in New York, that he gave the lyrics of this poem that he had written, one day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be. He gave it to the musician there, Charles Marsh, who was a gifted pianist, and Marsh wrote the music. And so this dates back to 1908, one day when heaven was filled with his praises. And I think, Neil, one of the reasons why this has been an enduring hymn is because the refrain or the chorus really summarizes biblical theology. It's the gospel. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, O glorious day.
We want to hear it in just a minute. But Rob, I want to just thank you again for telling us these stories. And I know as you head into Easter and preaching there as well, I'm wondering if maybe you would just offer a closing prayer that, you know, those that maybe discover these wonderful lyrics for the first time, really hear the message about all Jesus has done for us. Would you just close in prayer for us today?
I will. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this week. And I pray for everyone listening to this right now that the message and the words and the music of these hymns would resonate in their spirits and in their lives. And Father, for anyone who is listening who is not absolutely committed to Christ, the risen Christ, then I pray that you would give them the words of Jesus who said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." And may they this very day and this very week become all out committed followers of the crucified and the risen Savior. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's together enjoy the message, the hope that we have that one day Jesus is coming. And that's a glorious day. Rob Morgan joining us from Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, best-selling author. Bless you, Rob. Happy Easter to you. And thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, Neil.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin. He dwelt among men, my example is he. One day they led him a Calvary. Suffering, anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. The hands that heal nations stretched out on a tree and took the nails for me.
Casting Crowns, of course, with that wonderful rendition of the old J. Wilbur Chapman hymn, One Day He's Coming. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, a glorious day. We've got a little bit more about that song up on our website. If you go to myfaithradio.com, you can find out a little bit more about the story behind the song, and just be a great place to maybe send a friend who is having some questions about this week on the calendar. And go to myfaithradio.com, check that out. And if you missed part of today's program, I'd like to hear it again. You can always hear our interviews online. We post them at the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com. Then click on Connecting Faith. And join us tomorrow as we talk to John Dixon about the skeptics' view of the Bible. It's coming up then.